The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back. Of old it was said to you, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute and mistreat you, and then you'll be children of your heavenly Father. A little tiny word about that this morning. To the very first people who ever heard those words, they would have seemed impossible and insane. Because those who hate you and your enemies, to the first people who heard these words, that would have meant the Romans, and most especially the Roman army, who occupied their land, taxed them without mercy, treated them with contempt. And the idea that you were supposed to go and love such people, this would have seemed impossible and insane. I remember once upon a time a man came up to me and he said that the Christian faith, the whole thing, is impossible and insane. When you're a priest and you're out in public a lot, you get a lot of unsolicited opinions about the church, right? It just happens. It comes with the territory. Impossible and insane. And the reason why is because of this very commandment to love your enemies. And with flawless logic, he said, your enemy is someone who you hate. God commands you to love someone who you hate. That's insane. There is one glaring hole in that reasoning, though. And that's the meaning of the word love. He thought that love means having warm feelings towards somebody. And that would, in fact, be insane. The Greek word for enemy is ekthron, and it means someone with whom you have an irreconcilable hostility. That might be the way you feel towards maybe someone who mistreated or bullied you back in the seventh grade 40 years ago. Or maybe somebody who mistreated you in traffic 40 seconds ago. The last thing you have towards such people is warm feelings, right? And this is why it's very, very important to reiterate this. We need to understand this until we can say it from memory, understand it at the very marrow of our bones. Love is not a feeling. And most people think it is. But let's understand this. Love is not a feeling, it's not an emotion. Love is a choice. To do what's best for somebody else, no matter what it costs you. And remember, what's meant by best for somebody else? What does that mean? That's inseparable from God's will for another person. Which is why love never means giving your blessing to sin. You get, especially parents, you know, they come to the priest and they tell you about troubles in their family, especially with their children, and they've gone and they're in some bad marriage, whatever it might be, and I really need to go and I need to give them my blessing to show them that I love them. And by love, they mean maintain warm feelings towards them. And I hope you already know that that's not love. Doing what's best for somebody else, very often it means not having warm feelings, and it makes somebody else become your enemy. What did God say? Did he ever say you wouldn't have enemies? No, he said what? Love your enemies. And guess who loves his enemies? God does. He makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust alike. Every time I say Mass, I think of this. And you'll remember this now. When I consecrate the chalice, The words of the priest says, "This is the chalice of my blood poured out for you and for many." Why doesn't he say poured out for all? Why not all? Because some people have made themselves God's enemy. Some people won't benefit from what Jesus did on the cross, but he poured it out for him just the same. God loved his enemies. You ever wondered whether you love your enemies? I can give you a quick little test. It comes from St. Maximus the Confessor. And he says, just ask yourself this one question. How quickly do you speak well of those who hate you? How quickly? Especially behind their back. He says that's a sign of perfect love. And why does Jesus ask this of us? It's not just so that we'll be decent fellows and good chaps. He asks this of us so that we will love like he loves. We often forget that God loves his enemies and God have mercy on them. There's many people in the world and they hate the Lord. They're in great darkness. We need to pray and do sacrifice for them. But they hate the Lord and they hate the church and God loves them. And we need to love them too. Or guess what? We're not loving like God. And if we don't love like God, guess where we don't fit in? We're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So we better learn. It's a very, very important thing to remember this. And God has allowed these people into our lives. And it's not been positively willed. God never wills evil. But he does allow evil to occur. And for what purpose? For the well-being of those who he loves. The people who God has allowed in your life who are very difficult, he has allowed for your sanctification. I like to remember the words that St. Jose Maria Escriva once said. Don't say that person annoys me. Say rather, that person sanctifies me. That's why they're in your life. As our Lord himself has said, love one another as I have loved you. And right here at the Mass, there's no better place to pray for the strength to do so, especially those we find most difficult. Amen.